The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2016 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2016. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at accsedu.org.
Good afternoon. It's I think it's right at 2 o'clock, and Nathan, this is too loud, right? Way too loud. Better? Okay. All right. This better. Okay. As indicated, this is the workshop by Harold Naylor. I want to thank Dub this morning because he actually stole my thunder. Although I'm going to say I'm stealing his thunder. But he talked about three things. He said scripture, a story, and a question. And actually, no kidding, this talk is planned around that as well. I actually describe it in three ways. And this is what I hope for all of us as we go through this whole workshop is that it's informational, that it's inspirational, and that it's aspirational. So informational, inspirational, and aspirational. And I think you'll see when we start. I want to start with just two passages from 1 Peter where he's exhorting the new Christians, and this is in 1 Peter 10. He says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to read something that you have in your books, and then I'm going to ask that we pray. On January 14th, two Marine helicopters were reported missing just offshore in Hawaii. Soon after, a civilian saw the helicopters and then a fireball in the sky. Major Sean Campbell, 41, College Station, Texas, was one of the 12 who was lost, and there was no trace of his body or any of his fellow Marines. You may remember this. Campbell's mother, Donna McGraw, described the father of four as a great dad whose kids love him, and he's a wonderful husband. He attended high school in suburban Houston and graduated from Texas A&M University with a degree in microbiology. In a family statement, McGrew said that her son accepted a commission after graduation and became a career Marine. Campbell served three tours in the Middle East, the last in Iraq, she told the Houston Chronicle. He returned to the U.S. to be a flying instructor at Pensacola, Florida, and had transferred to Hawaii about 2 years ago. He'd been living with his wife, Kelly, and their children near the Marine base at Kanoe Bay. My husband and I want everyone to know that this is not about us, McGrew said in her statement. This is about the families that are suffering and about all the sacrifices that our military members make and their families make on a daily basis. He joined the Marine Corps September 30th, 1999, and served as a CH-53E Super Stallion pilot, according to Marine Corps. With her world completely upside down, this homeschooling mother of four children went to live with her parents in Shawnee Mission, Kansas. Kelly has a great friend in Christy Kaiser who desperately wanted to see Kelly's children continue in their education. Christy prayed, and then she called the ACCS office in Idaho. She told Abby Gray her desire for Kelly's children. Christy then contacted me, and we got Kelly involved with Whitfield Academy in Kansas City and headmaster Quentin Johnston. In God's amazing providence, Kelly's children have been tested. And the postscript is that Quentin reported that Kelly's girls completed their school year and have registered for the fall at Whitfield Academy. Now, what does this have to do with what we're talking about? It's about connections. It's about us putting ourselves out and doing something big for the kingdom in ways that we may not have expected. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to share what you are doing in various Christian schools around the country. I thank you, Lord, for giving me a front row seat to seeing amazing kingdom work being done. I pray, Lord, that as I share some of these stories and some of the things that I've learned from these, that others would be encouraged and inspired. And also, Lord, that there would be those in this room who would aspire to help another Christian school, to bless them with the gifts and talents that you've given them so that they might extend and expand your kingdom for your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, today we're going to cover just, I call them four C's that describe the various strengths that I've seen over the past 4 years in my work with small and startup schools. And while all are classical Christian schools, they have a particular flavor or a DNA that makes them unique and viable in their particular community. I sort of have this belief that that God grants all of us different gifts and skills, and in the South we have an expression that's you dance with the one that brung you. And you know, you don't get to go dancing with all the other girls. You've got to dance with the one that brung you or that you brung. And it means that every one of us has been given a skill set that we should really cherish and be grateful for, and not worry about the ones that we don't have, because God is pleased to use the strengths that we have. So I hope to convey just two kernels this afternoon. One is that there's no one right way, or there's no one single formula to start and grow a school. God brings varied and useful gifts from every startup that I've seen, and each one develops its own DNA or its culture, its unique flavor, its taste. And the second thing is that you have an opportunity, whether you think that you don't have anything to spare or whether you've got a lot to spare, you have an opportunity to use your unique gifts and experience to come alongside and bless and encourage another classical school. Now, one other observation I would make is that in my working with classical Christian schools over the last 4 or 6 years, I'm seeing more alternative models of schools, such as the university style. University model is actually its own branded model. There's hybrids. There's a collaborative approach. Many of them, but where their schools are on a modified schedule. These models, and that's not the subject of today's talk, but it's interesting that I've seen these models work very well, and they actually give parents a chance to be more involved in the actual daily education of their children. Plus, of course, they're at a lower price point. The other thing that happens as a result of this, and this is kind of interesting, is that some of these schools, many of these schools, can actually charge lower tuition because they use a lot of part-time faculty, notwithstanding what Bill was just admonishing all of us to do about faculty, but part-time faculty can be just as great for advancing the mission. So culture is the first C, and that's a vision for the future and how a student will be transformed. I want to introduce you to Miris Academy in Desert Island, Maine. Have any of you ever heard of Miris Academy? It is led by a husband and wife, Aaron and Anna Hansen. And it's a school that 2 years ago had four students. But they started before they had their first student. They had this mission statement: Miris Academy exists to mature students in their love of truth and in their true love of others. Now, that's kind of boilerplate, but let me listen to how they describe it. And I want you to get a sense of the idea of culture. Now, this is before the first student walked in, but this is how Miris Academy, with, at that time, not even the four students, established its vision. Miris Academy aims to equip students to lead culture, not merely respond to it. Miris Academy will offer the highest educational standards while simultaneously producing the greatest humility in its students. This vision rests solely on the belief that the Christian meta-narrative is comprehensive and cohesive enough to supply the necessary value, purpose, and challenge for the educational enterprise to transform students into mature men and women of high intellectual and spiritual virtues. The students of Miris Academy will own their own education, develop the abstract thought necessary for both a masterful use of creative expression and rational discourse. The students will strive for intellectual honesty, graceful humility, and loving relationships. The faculty of Miris Academy will seek to educate through students, educate students thoroughly to the world beyond. The faculty of Miris Academy will be master teachers dedicated to students, their craft, and most of all, the centerpiece of life, Jesus Christ. The faculty will seek to contribute to their respective fields. They will be paid competitive wages for their professional services. They will breathe life into every teaching opportunity. The faculty will seek to expose students to the infinite beauty, justice, truth, and love of Jesus Christ via the curriculum, and let the inherent value of these realities motivate the students to pursue true human flourishing. The faculty will challenge students to pursue true understanding and wisdom, not allowing them to settle for mere mastery of systems and forms. The faculty will be committed to the classical model of education and the academic rigors that this model prescribes. Mears Academy will be missional in its mode of operation. It will provide an environment where students of all beliefs and backgrounds are welcomed and loved. It will serve the surrounding communities by investing in the present and future flourishing of those communities. It will serve by believing that the youth of the present age are created to push back the boundaries of disarray and chaos in both thought and deed. The Christian ethic of placing oneself under others will be followed by the Academy in its relationships to all others. Wow. That's quite a vision, isn't it? And it really describes beautifully what this school was established to bring. Now, that's 2 years ago. It's now had its second class of four students, so it had eight. It's now going to double again. It's going to go to 16. And here's the interesting thing. This vision captured the imagination of some people in their town. And after paying teachers and all the rent and all the other things that they have, they still had $80,000 in the bank with eight students. Because the Lord help is just bringing things. I mean, so here's a school with just a powerful vision and mission statement. There's the champion, the person person or two who lives and breathes the launch. Some of you may know my friend Courtney Flumbo from Regents Classical School in Charlottesville, Virginia. After 2 years of starting the school, it completely collapsed. I mean, there was just an exodus of parents, teachers, and the school went to one student and her as a teacher. And then in God's grace, it started over again 5 years ago because Courtney was tenacious about her belief that Charlottesville, Virginia needed a strong classical school. So in her very enthusiastic way, and again, if you know her, she's bubbly and committed, and she was undeterred. She said, we're going to persevere. And now the school is, after 5 years, has over 150 students. It is now looking at purchasing a building. It's got a staff of, I think, 15, maybe 18. She said, Harold, we just got an athletic director. You know, so there's some exciting things that are going on because of the tenacity of a champion who said, you know, I am just not going to let go of this thing. In Tehachapi, California, there's a restart of a school that I've been involved with for the last year. This is called Heritage Oak School. It's in what's called the high desert of Southern California. So after 22 years, after 20 years, the school really languished. And Amy Walker was actually one of the founders, but had to take herself out to homeschool her children. And the school went up to 90 to 100 and then dropped down to around 40 2 years ago when she took over. Amy, with a completely new vision for the school and some help from some other folks, has relaunched that school, really relaunched it. And as of last week, she's knocking on the door of 100 students. In 2 years, went from 40 to almost 100 students, almost a whole new faculty, completely dedicated to the classical model, hungry to learn, and with parents who are just excited about the parent academies that they're offering and learning more. So, again, that's heart of a champion. I'm privileged to know Matt Hopkins of Augustine Classical Academy in Mechanicville, New York. And Matt leads with two great passions. He's a rower, Olympic class rower, and mock trial. And so these two particular strengths, so he's actually formed much of the upper school around his passion for rowing and the fact that he's got kids who love rowing, so much so that they placed in the nationals 3 weeks ago, and the mock trial team won the region against all kinds of other schools that are, just suffice to say, much, much larger. So yet here's another, you know, another champion who's bringing yet another skill set. And I hope that as you're thinking about this, you're saying, okay, Lord, I've got some of these things. I've got some things that are that are unique to what I, you know, what we can bring, and maybe form a school around some of these ideas. How about a pattern or a model from another school? A five-day university school. There's a very fine growing school in Beaumont, Texas called Veritas Academy. It's led by a friend named Aaron Langer. That school didn't exist 3 years ago. They are now looking at 150 students. They have three amazing board members who have underwritten the school, given just tremendous amounts of money, and also given Aaron a lot of room. So they're not trying to micromanage. But they took their pattern from a school in Houston called Trinity Classical Academy. So this idea of partnering and seeing another model is something that's good. And again, we can't just cut and paste. You've been admonished about, you know, the idea of taking one school, what they've done exactly, and just map it over. But the reality is that this can happen. And you can form that school around some other ideas, but again, get that some of those core ideas from another school. There's a church-sponsored school in Bellingham, Washington, called Trinity Classical School. And this is a school that started because two docs, a husband and wife, the husband's an orthopedic surgeon, the wife is a pediatrician, and they said, you remember Doug Wilson's story, he said, I look around the educational landscape, and I said, I can't do this. We have to do something. So there was nothing in the area, nothing for 60 miles. And they said, and their pastor, who'd been studying classical education and had been educating his children homeschool classically, said, we're going to start a school. So a pastor and two very committed parents, then they got a fireman and an engineer and some other folks, and they started Trinity Classical School that has now, I think, close to 50 students. It's a core group. They're dedicated. They hire their first principal. But again, it's a germ of an idea that, and again, starting in all of these in different ways. Now, the number two is the cornerstone. And really, the board is, as you know, and you heard a great talk this morning from David Ritter and Eric Robine, that how critical the board is. And as you may have heard the expression, as the board goes, so goes the school. But sadly, in many Christian schools, the board is maybe the weakest link. And for those of you who are board members, I am delighted that you're here, because that means that you want to grow and to change and develop. And so for that, I'm very, very thankful. But I have to tell you that, you know, as it was described earlier today, you know, those of you who are working long days, you go home to get a bite to eat, and then you scamper back to try to give the very best part of your day to a school, you know, between 7 and 10 or 11 or whatever time you go to. It is really, really hard. So again, Eric and David spoke to this morning. I want to commend to you a book that, if you haven't read this, this is a book by Roy Lowery. You can get this on Amazon. And it's called Serving God on the Christian School Board. It talks about it philosophically. It talks about it very practically. It talks about the ministry that goes on within Christian schools. This book is in its, I don't know, third or fourth or fifth printing. But I commend this to you, and this is a book that if you will go through with your board, a part of a chapter each time or a chapter each time, this will really ground you into what it means to be an effective Christian school board. So I want to commend that to you. Another part of the cornerstone are connections. Mentors or coaches from nearby schools. This is probably one of the best avenues. And this is what I really want to encourage all of you who think that, you know, I don't have but just a little bit of time to spare. There may be another school just down the road who could really use you. And really, this what's so nice about this method is finding a coach who can meet with you and pray with you. I mean, it's not bad to do it by Skype or by phone. But there's something about this incarnational approach where you can actually link together, pray together, see each other in the flesh. And so, again, those of you who are in more, you know, metropolitan areas where there's multiple classical Christian schools, or you can find a way to bridge that 60-mile gap. There's another classical school, hopefully not too far away. And, you know, my encouragement to all of you and everybody else is to find a Christian school that you can bless. Along those lines, ACCS, with its website, is now about to launch a much, much improved website with a lot of helps. And But if you call the office, you'll talk to Tom Spencer or Abby Gray, or you might even get David Goodwin. And these folks, I mean, live and breathe this. And if you don't hesitate to call them and say, could you give me some place to start and just a person I can talk to about this and this and this and this. And they're really well connected with all the members of the ACCS, and they would be very, very happy to help you. And then you've got churches and others in the community, the folks in Bellingham found the name of the couple is the Van Hoffvegans. But as they found their own pastor who had been separately studying and learning about classical education, there may be people in your community that are doing the same thing. And so maybe just get the word out there on Facebook or some other social media to find out who's thinking about classical education. You may be surprised that there may be a public school teacher, Heritage Oak School, the one I just mentioned in Tehachapi, a lady who spent 35 years teaching in the public school, was done with the public school system. And she knew about Heritage Oak, and she said, I want to raise my hand and I want to help any way I can. So she started as a sub, and then she started to volunteer for field trips. And the next thing you know, she becomes a board member. And she's brought so much discipline and structure. So there may be these gems in the community that you know, and her children have children. So she's a grandmother. So she's a long way from being a parent. But you never know where you're going to find the kind of folks who could be just a tremendous blessing to you as you begin to expand your board, or even just friends of the school who could be just advisors. Building and facility. This is a common problem for many schools. I had the pleasure of meeting a lady named Monica Gaglione in not very far from where I live in Wilmington, Delaware. And she says, Harold, I don't have anything but a passion. We've got an amazing building. And so the church leadership said, we want to sponsor school. So Monica, you go out there and figure out the school, but we're going to provide you space. And their building is amazing. And the church has got lots of families. And so this is another, you know, tremendous blessing. So the blessing of facility or space that you can use. And there are stories that I've heard where people are getting, where people are receiving opportunities to set up in churches, and the churches are happy and maybe charge very little or no rent just so that they can be good stewards of their facilities. So, again, there may be resources right around the corner. The next is foundational documents. And this is very, very important. Stratford Classical Christian Academy in New Jersey took some of its foundational documents from Tall Oaks Classical School, which is an accredited school. And this happens a lot where a school will look at the pattern of how a school has been developed and said, we'd like to borrow your foundational documents, which also comes with, of course, coaching and encouraging. But that actually helps begin to let the school define what it's going to look like. You remember in the last lecture about the portrait of the graduate? That whole idea of what does a graduate look like, even though you may only be in your second, third, fourth grades, but you need to have a vision of what that graduate looks like. And there are many schools that are doing a great job with defining and describing the portrait of a graduate, and that would be very exciting. The core, another number three core, financial resources. There is a school that in Salina, Kansas, they're now just finished their first year. It's called Cornerstone Classical Academy in Salina, Kansas. And this is a school where they didn't have the classical knowledge. They didn't even have a great champion, but they had a board who had boku money. And so they put together a bunch of money. They hired some teachers, one or two good lead teachers, and they hired a headmaster from a traditional school who began to hurriedly learn as much as he could about what it meant to be a classical school. And they started, and they got 50 students, 60 students in their first year, and they're now looking at growing to about 80 to 100. But in the meantime, the Lord brought them a very, very skilled new head of school. So the one that was there to kind of just, you know, prop things up initially, He's now stepping down and retiring because he knew he was there just as a placeholder for the real McCoy. And God brought a phenomenal young man who came from Arkansas who wants a new adventure in the middle of Kansas. And when I mean in the middle of Kansas, it's in the middle of Kansas. But there's an opportunity that was actually purchased. So you had five board members who all had plenty of money, and they just staked the school with a bunch of money. Then you've got committed parents who want to learn, and I'm happy that Shane Berry is here because of many of the schools I've been observing. This school, Jonathan Edwards Classical Academy in Nashville, Madisonville, right? Madisonville?
Nashville,
okay. Is a very, very fine school with parents who are committed, who also go to the parent academies and who want to learn and understand more about what it means to be a classical school. So there are building blocks that we can start with and build on. Number four is curriculum. And I'll go back to Jonathan Edwards again. They're blessed to have a leader in Ryan Boomershine, who is the headmaster. He goes by the title Chief Learner. If you look at his business card, it's Chief Learner. Ryan is, and he's true to that. Ryan has committed to being on the tip of the spear to learn as much as he can because he knows that that teaching this way is an art. It's not a science. You don't master it. And he always wants to be. He's always learning, striving to learn more and more. He's also teaching his teachers, which helps obviously get the word out and get there and increase their knowledge. And then there's, of course, patterning, after another school. Grace Classical is a school that is yet to open, but it's going to be, it's also being mentored by the Veritas Beaumont that I told you was being mentored by Trinity Classical. So you have friends all around the country that are willing to help you with foundational documents, scope and sequence, and their experience. And so Grace Classical is one that's going to start near a Marine base. In southern North Carolina. So what about you? Is there some way that God might use you to bless a school or another work? Even if you think you're not equipped to do that, I'm convinced and I know that God has given you certain skills. I heard a sermon from my pastor this past Sunday, and he quoted Paul's letter to the Colossians chapter 1 and just read three verses. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. In a similar way, before we understood classical education, we were aliens to this. God was pleased to awaken us, to give us a new vision of what education. He reconciled us. He brought us into the classical Christian school movement. And now, and again, to use the parallel, what will we do with what we've been given? So, again, I think we were, if we are firm in our commitment to kingdom education, can we become even greater servants? And again, I'm asking people who are very busy to think about tithing your time to bless another school. Again, as I said to you from the beginning scripture from 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And lastly, God has really blessed me in my work in Christian schools, both as an employee and as an advisor. And so I'm pleased to put my money where my mouth is and to give something back to you. Some of you picked up the book in the back. It's called The Choice. It's written by Gary Hogue, Scott Rodan, and Wes Wilmer. These are the guys that are the deans of biblical stewardship. These are the ones that have been teaching me for the past 15 or so years. But this is not a development. These are not a development book or resource book per se. As a matter of fact, I can recommend this book called The Sower by Scott Rodan and Gary Hogue for a primer on the biblical way to approach stewardship. Some of you may know this book. But what I'd like to do is to have you have this book called The Choice. And the reason that I want you to have this book is because sometimes culture, as Richard Stern says on the back of this, sometimes culture has a more powerful sway over us as leaders than we'd like to admit. The prevailing styles of leadership can lead us towards an unhealthy focus on numbers and buildings instead of kingdom-oriented values. Gary Hogue, Scott Rodin, and Wes Wilmer helped set our compass back to the kind of leadership that God requires based on profound, time-tested principles anchored in God, in the kingdom of God. So my dedication that's in this book to you is, dear school leader, shaping lives is hard work. Partnering with parents has its stresses too. Working with staff and volunteers and board members can pull us in many directions. It can seem that success is elusive, maybe even a moving target. This book, The Choice, is my gift to you as you seek to pursue kingdom outcomes for the Ministry of Education. For too often, I have measured success in what's called the common path. How many? How much? How soon? This book recalibrates our thinking about success as seen by our Lord. I hope you'll be challenged and encouraged to seek a new set of metrics, which will put you in closer agreement with the will of the one who gave you your abilities in the first place. Bless you, my fellow laborer for Christ. I'm going to close in prayer, and if we have more time, which we have some time, because I wanted to end early. So if you'd like to ask questions or come up, but let me stop here and just close our time in a word of prayer. Father, the answers are before us. You have been so good and so gracious, so lavish in your giving gifts. And Lord, today we've just touched on a few that allow us to remember that you are generous in dispensing gifts and talents, and that as we build our current school, as we look at establishing new schools, as we look at maybe helping other schools, Lord, I pray that we would take a great assessment of what you've given us, that we would look at the passions that you've given us to bless others, that you would remind us of your generous provisions that we have in, again, various skill sets, and that we would be pleased to purpose those for a kingdom purpose that would advance the kingdom, Lord, that would bless the children that are in our communities, so that the kind of education that you've been teaching us about might be offered to so many more. Lord, there are places in this country that desperately need more classical Christian schools. The state of California has 5. That's a state that should have 50 schools. Lord, there are many, many other areas in the country where there's just so many open spaces that need the kind of education that can be delivered if we will work together and if we'll submit to one another, if we'll admit our weakness, and if we'll seek help. So, Lord, would you be pleased to use this book and the things that we've talked about? Lord, would you inspire my friends? Would you give them a real heart for learning more, for reaching out, for linking arms, and to give what they have so that other schools might be established and flourish? So, Lord, we give you the glory and the honor, for you are worthy. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you.